Okay, good morning everyone. My name is Ilan Levy. I'm a program manager at Microsoft in the Azure BI team. We are located in Israel and we've been working on Windows Azure SQL reporting for a while now, so it's very excited to be here and talk with you about the product that we're doing. This is Iran.
Hi, my name is Iran Shachar. I'm a team lead in the BI organization in Israel. I'm in the test development group, and I've joined Microsoft around 5 years ago, and since the very early beginning, we deal with online services. First, it was based on GFS, and today, we are all Windows Azure-based, and we're really excited being here and proud announcing and presenting our newly service, the reporting services in Windows Azure.
Okay, so before we get started, a few explanations about the names because it could be confusing. So the session name was Microsoft SQL Azure Reporting. We see here Windows Azure SQL Reporting. So we, Microsoft, we care deeply about names, and starting last week on the Azure Spring launch, most of the services in Azure change their name. So you might see several names in the deck. You might hear me get confused a bit because we used to the old names. So the new name is Windows Azure SQL Reporting. That's the name of the product. So this is what you'll see online when you look for it in MSDN. But you might hear me say the old name. All right, so let's get started. Okay, so the goal of this session is to explain what Windows Azure SQL Reporting is about. So basically, I'm going to talk about from 1,000 feet, what does it mean, SQL reporting in Azure? And then we're going to talk about what it can be used for and who can use it. So the goal is to set your imagination and make you think about different scenarios and different ways that you can use the product, even if you're using SSRS on-prem or you're not using reporting at all. So the goal of this is to kind of make you understand what you can do with it. Then we're going to take a deep dive into the architecture so you understand how we built the product, because we think it's important that you understand how the product that you're using is built. We're going to talk about pricing and SLA. It's kind of a big thing in a service is the SLA, and basically this is what we give you. And then we're going to talk about future directions. Of course, we have lots of demos throughout the session. So let's start with what does it mean? So please raise your hands. How much of you are familiar with SSRS? All right, great. Cool. So basically, we took the product that you already know, okay, and we made it work on Azure. So we took the engine, and we made it work on Azure. We're going to go deeper into that later. Then we added the Azure Management Portal, so that's a way for you to interact with the engine. That's the new way in Azure to do that. We added SQL Azure connectivity for several reasons. So the data source for your reports is SQL Azure. And then we took this entire thing and we copied that through Windows Azure data centers. So it's available for you around the world. Let's start with a quick demo. So I sent an email to Iran this morning. Maybe, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. Just let me switch to my view. I see it. Let me open it. I see you're talking about the casino results. Don't you want me to present the AdventureWorks again?
No. Let's go with the casino this time. So we thought a few weeks ago what we can show in this demo. And at the beginning, we thought, let's go with AdventureWorks because everybody knows that. But then we thought this so much early in the morning, you probably want to see something different. So we are in Israel, and we thought what would be interesting to demonstrate in the States. So casinos and gambling are outside of the law in Israel, but we hear that in the States here, it's allowed sometimes. So it's kind of made us curious. And we thought, how could it be that the house always wins? How could it be that they make so much money? So we created a database out of that. So Iran will explain a bit more.
Sure. So what I've created is a database, a simple database, relational database in SQL Azure. And based on real probabilities and real odds of a casino game, I've generated the software agent to populate this database. And we ran it for several hours, got thousands of games played and gambling done in the casino. And then we created several reports on top of it. So now switching to my other position as the casino manager, What I'd like to see in the very first page is an aggregated view of my casino, the winnings of the casino, the percentage of the house winnings during the past period of time. And as we can see here, we have about 40% winnings ratio, and we can see also the amount of money won and lost by the casino during the past 24 hours. So that's basically an aggregated view of my casino results, and I have some more reports to show you later in this demo.
So, Iran, I'm noticing that something happened around 7 a.m. Seems like we're losing money. Your casino lose money? How could it be?
Yeah, it seems like the casino does not always win. So let's see some more data objects, some more data about what happened in the casino. So I'm going to another report showing the traffic in the casino based on ages and gender and some wins and by these parameters. And on the bottom of the report, I can see that based on the game type, I can see the results of amount of money wagered and amount of money won during the past 24 hours. So I can see that in the roulette game, we're almost break even. We got and lost almost the same amount of money. So let me drill down into this report to see specific roulette games. So we can clearly see that we have a peak here. One of the players won too much money in the roulette game. So let me drill down into this one and see some more data about it. And okay, as we can see here, this guy arrived around 7 a.m., played 11 games, left after 2 hours with more than $45,000. I guess that's the root cause for that peak, that incident that the casino lost some money. So we know who it is. We'll take care of him.
All right. Thanks, Iran. Go back to the deck. So everything that you saw is SQL reporting in Azure in the background. So we're very happy to announce that starting last week, it's globally available. So, yeah. So for us, it's exciting anyway. So it was on a preview version for a while now, and we had worked really hard to make it globally available. Very happy that we reached that point. So everybody that has an Azure subscription can log in and use SQL reporting. If you don't have a subscription, you can go to windowsazure.com and get the trial version. So basically, anyone here can go online after the session and try yourself what you see here. Okay, so you can manage, you can create report server, you can manage them, everything through the Azure portal, and we'll see that in a few minutes. So who can see the reports that you upload to your report server in Azure? So basically, anyone that you give access to can see the reports because it's available online in Windows Azure data centers. So what we saw is our very basic scenario, that's direct URL access. So you get a URL for a report, you click on it, and then you see the reports. That's the most very basic experience that we provide with SQL reporting in Azure. So we saw a demo in an email, so you can embed the link inside an email. You can do that in your website, or you can do that in SharePoint Online if that's your portal. And it integrates very, very nicely together. So, Ilan, as a casino manager, why would you want SharePoint Online and how would you use Azure reporting in it?
So, thanks, Ilan. As the casino manager, I would like my employees to navigate through URL accesses and go to the relative path in that URL and log in with the specific credential and all that scenario. It's too complicated, and we easily created the SharePoint page, SharePoint portal in our SharePoint Online site. As you can see, it's not SharePoint, it's SharePoint Online, part of the Office 365 offering, and that's the easiest way for me to leverage SharePoint capabilities and embed our capabilities, our reporting services capabilities in this portal. So what I have here is the same experience of reporting embedded in the SharePoint portal. And what I basically did to create this page with the embedded report is adding a web part, a page view web part, a simple WebPart that SharePoint contains, and I have the same reports, the same experience of instead of navigating to a direct URL access, and this is the same live report pulling data from SQL Azure, and basically the same one just inside SharePoint. And as I mentioned, the WebPart is easy to configure. You just show the URL of the reporting server, as you can see on the this configuration page, and after configuring it, you can simply see your reports inside the SharePoint. That's right. It for that part.
Thanks. Okay, so that's very cool. You can use SQL Azure reporting and upload reports to your server in Azure, and then see your reports anywhere. So if your organization portal is SharePoint Online, because it's very easy to do that, then you can see the reports inside. So that's very nice. So more benefits of why SQL reporting in Azure versus on-prem. So first of all, it's very easy to get started. So you don't need to think about what kind of hardware you'd need. You don't need to provision for your peaks because we scale for that. So you don't need to worry about the configuration and always up, always on. So that's the point of the services in Azure, and that's the point of SQL reporting in Azure. On top of that, you can use the tools that you already know. So if you know how to create your reports, your RDL files with SQL Server Data Tools or BI Development Studio if you're using previous version, so you can use the same tools with SQL reporting in Azure. Some more advantage, yeah. No, not a problem. Yeah. That's a great question. 4 slides from now. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. So more advantages of why SQL reporting in Azure is the fact that Microsoft cares about the security and the availability of the product. So we patch the servers. We monitor them. We make sure that they are online all the time, and we guarantee 99.9% SLA. And we measure that from several locations around the world to the data centers. We'll talk about that a bit later. It is easily distributed, so it's available across Azure data centers. So if you want a server in the United States or in Europe, this is very, very easy to do. So it's just a matter of configuration, and we'll see that later. And of course, another benefit of SQL Azure is that it is automatically backed up. And we are in SQL reporting, we're leveraging SQL Azure for that, so you don't need to worry about that as well. All right, so let's see a quick demo of the management portal. That's your interface to SQL reporting in Azure versus the reports that we saw earlier, that's your user's experience. Okay, so this is the login page for the management portal. That's windows.azure.com. This is how you access the management portal. What you see here is a bit different experience than what you'll see because Windows Azure portal is federated to Microsoft domain, and because Iran logs in from his Microsoft identity, then it gets routed to another dialog that he needs to fill in. But this is, after you insert your username and password, this is what you'll see, and this is the Windows Azure management portal. So on the top, you see the main toolbar. And on the left, on the bottom left, you see different features in Windows Azure. So database, for example, is SQL Azure Database. And reporting is Windows Azure SQL reporting. So we click on that, and we get into the management experience of SQL reporting in Azure. So it's a host. So what we saw earlier is an interface that hosts SQL reporting management. So every user in Windows Azure is connected to Azure subscriptions, and basically that paying entity. So there's a credit card connected to each subscription, and you can create reports that's connected to subscriptions. So if Iran will click on create the reporting server, then you can select the subscription, and that's basically on which credit card you want this report server to be built on, and you select the region. So it's very easy to select any data center that we support, and this is where your report server would be located. Okay? So if you need your report server to be in Europe, this is how we do it. We recommend that you configure your report server in the same data center that SQL Azure is located, so the report server would be close to the data. Okay, so you wouldn't swim across the ocean every time you render a report. But you can configure it as you like, and you configure the administrator and username, and the administrator and password. And can you go to the casino server that we created?
Yep.
So we'll go to the server that you saw earlier in the demo. So what you saw are reports that render from the server that we'll see. So inside the server, that's the ticket folder, that's our demo that we saw, there are data sources and reports. Data source is how you configure your report to connect to SQL Azure data source. So if Ron will click on it, so you basically configure a connection string, username and password. So that's the connection string. And you can give it a short description. That's basically it. After that, and we'll close the dialog, we can upload report to the server. So the reports that you created on-prem on your machines, that's the RDL files, you upload to SQL Server. To SQL Reporting. And then you get a list of the RDL files in your server. And
I'll close it.
Okay, close and reopen. So we get a list of RDL files in the server. And then you can set permissions. And for each report, you have a URL. And then you can take that URL and use it elsewhere. So we'll do that again. Right, and then click on that. So you can manage different folders. You can create folders and manage permissions per folder. Okay, so that's very easy to do. And then you can click on the report, and you see the same report that we saw previously in the demo. So that's a way for you to manage your report and see what the user will experience when it clicks on the link. All right. So if we go back to the... All right, so the SOAP API. So what we did with SQL reporting in Azure, we took the API that's available on-prem, and we made it available in SQL reporting in Azure. So you can create your software and extend SQL reporting capabilities per your needs. So you can take the SOAP API. It's the same SOAP API as it exists on-prem, so that you might already know. And you can upload reports. You can export reports. You can set configuration. You can do all kinds of things. So here is an example of how you can render a report in code. So basically, very simple three lines. So the first line, report execution server, that's an object that Visual Studio creates automatically. So basically, when you connect Visual Studio to the SOAP API endpoint of your server, Visual Studio would create this object. And then you can use the functions in this object. So for example, render will render a report. So you give it several parameters, like the format of the report, and then you get a report. So that's very, very simple to do. And Iran will show us how to do that as part of a program. So we'll take that piece of code that we saw and demonstrate how it can actually work.
OK, so what I have here is a basic Windows Form application. Has a single button on it. And the flow behind this button is when clicking it, it will call the main method of this application. The main method is execute, as you can see on the screen. And this method will call two different methods. The first one will render the report that will, in a few seconds, will step into it. And the second one will get the received byte and store them to SharePoint, the SharePoint owner, the same portal that we saw earlier, this portal. Now, we use it as a repository for our reports. So what we have here in the code, I'll press F12 to step into this method. It's a relatively short method using the SOAP API that Elon just mentioned. And as you can see here, we're using the RS execution context. That's the same generated object that Elon was mentioning. It's an instance of a generated class generated by one of the common tools that you probably know, such as WSDL or others. And we use it from our code, the generated code, to communicate with our reporting server and perform some management operation with the SOAP API. We can see here that we load the report relative path on the reporting server, and we render the report based on several parameters that we pass to him. And the second method that is called here, just this is the store report to SharePoint, is basically using the client object model of SharePoint. That's a basic object model that SharePoint provides. You can read it in MSDN, Bing, search for it. And I'll not go over this code. It's a pretty simple code that communicates with the SharePoint APIs. So I'll run this application and click on that button. And now what's happening behind the scene is we're communicating with the reporting server, contacting it, connect to it, load the report that we've provided in the parameter, render its byte, then send the bytes back to the SharePoint client object model, the API, and then it will save it to the SharePoint repository. So here we can see with a timestamp, the report with a timestamp, it's Israeli hour now. So I'll click to open it, save the report, and after a short security scan, I'll be able to open this report. It's in PDF format, and we started with the scenario of the casino manager. What I'd like my employees to see is a single version of the truth. The reason I'm creating this report is for my employees to see a specific report in a specific point of time. Not every one of them log into the reporting server and pull the data that is not the same as the others are looking at. So we have a single report in PDF format, stored in our SharePoint Online in a very simple application, and that's it.
But Eran, what if we want to change the format of the format instead of PDF to something else? Is this some? Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
No, that's not a report view control. Mm-hmm. That's not a report view control. That's a SOAP API. But you can use the report viewer control as well. Okay. All right. So we saw a PDF file, but what if you want to change something? Is it complicated to change something in the SOAP API, or, for example, if you want to change the format? Is it complicated, or is it simple to do?
It's very simple to do. Great question, Ian.
We didn't practice that.
Yeah, sure. At all. So this is one of the parameters passed to the render report method. I'll just change it to a different format, such as MHTML, compile the program, and run it again, and then press again the button, and you know what's going on. We're connecting to the reporting server, then load, render the report, and send it to the store to SharePoint method. And refreshing this page, we have a newly created report. I'll click on it and save and open it. And now it's the same report, and as you can see, it's open in the web browser. It's an MHTML format, and the same report with a different timestamp with the same data. So that basically was a parameter change for the application to generate a new format, and we support many formats, such MHTML, CSVs, and others.
Okay, so that was very cool. So we have an application that connects to SQL reporting in Azure, and then generates a report in a PDF or MHTML or any other format in SharePoint Online. But Eran, I would like to challenge you more, because as a casino manager, you don't want your people or someone to click on a client application. You want that to be created automatically, right? You want it, like, say, once a night or some period of time, the reports to be generated automatically. And moreover, you don't want anybody to get the same report, right? You want different people in the casino or different people, different employers of yours to get different reports. I want to register for specific reports. And on top of that, I don't want to use any client application. I know my portal, and my portal is SharePoint Online. So I want to interact with this, with SharePoint Online. I want to insert my request to SharePoint Online, and then I want to see the results, the report, in SharePoint Online. So I want it to be created automatically. I want to register to reports, and I want the entire experience to be from SharePoint Online and not from client application that I don't know. So can you do that?
Yes, we can. So Ilan is my program manager in real life in our BI project, but here in the casino management, he also provides the requirements and definitions for what I want to have here. So the requirement is to have a scheduled manner report generation and story to SharePoint Online, and we took it even further to store reports based on specific subscriptions of specific people interested in specific areas inside the casino, assuming I have employees that are responsible for some area in the casino, like the blackjack, like the cubes, like the roulette, and they would like to see a report once a day, twice a day, every hour, to see trends and recognize some incidents going on in the casino. So we've leveraged the Windows Azure web role to do this periodically. So what we basically did here is we created an application, and it's running in Windows Azure. It runs forever, as you can see in this code. And doing the report generation operation, store it to SharePoint Online, and then sleeps for the time interval. For these demo purposes, I'll just demonstrate it. We set the time interval for 5 minutes, so we don't have to wait half a day for that. So here in our SharePoint, I have the report subscription. It's a basic SharePoint list, one of the components supported in SharePoint. And we added this type of list item that I can create subscription in. So assuming Elon is the poker owner, the poker area owner, and he would like to see people who won more than $1,000 or lost more than $1,000. And so I'm creating an entry for Elon. This is the created entry. And now what's happening behind the scenes and under the hood of this Windows Azure application is that it pulls the subscription list from SharePoint Online, scans it, takes the parameters out of it, the game name, the amount of money won or lost, and generate reports in the same saved reports repository. And I'll go over the code for a few minutes till it will generate it. So this method, the main method of the web role, is generating report. I'll step into it, pressing F12. And what we can see here is first, scanning the subscription list from SharePoint. That's a basic code doing that. Parse the parameters. And then send the parameters to this method, the render game statistics report. I'll step into this one too. And what we can see here that the same object that we used in the previous application, the report execution service, I'm creating an instance of it, communicating with the reporting server, log on the user, a generic user that has permissions to generate reports, and I parse the parameter, pass now the parameters to the report. It's a parameterized report that can get all the game names and values that I just put in. And then I render the report. After rendering the report, this method returns the bytes, the report bytes, to its caller, as you can see here. And then it's stored to SharePoint in a periodic manner. As I said, it wakes up every 5 minutes and performs this operation. Let's see if we have some reports there already. We can see it has created a folder here for Elon and stored the report right now. And saving it and opening it, we'll see the same experience that we saw when I clicked the button in the previous application. Just for the poker game, people who won more than $1,000 or lost more than $1,000 during the past 24 hours. So that's a subscription list, very easy to use, very easy to develop, and that's what we have here.
So that's very cool. So I go to my folder, and then I have all the reports waiting for me in my folder.
Yep.
All right. That's very nice. Okay. Any questions about the SOAP API or the programmability interface, something that what we demonstrated? I could hear the question, sorry.
Not, is it a complete mirror of the on-premise version, or is there, are there any limitations?
Yeah, so there are limitations in SQL reporting in Azure, and we'll get to that later. So this, the limitation is in those area, and we'll get that to the end. But the rest is what you should know from on-premise, so it should act the same. What we did here, we leveraged Windows Azure capabilities of a web role. So you have something that is up in Azure data center that's running for you, and you don't need to worry about the service that is up and running and a machine that will take care of it. So we leveraged Windows Azure web role to do that automatically for you. But above the layer of Windows Azure, the SOAP API layer, that's the same as the on-prem. So it's the same thing that you should already know. Any more questions? Yes?
What versions of SharePoint does it work with? Is it only the newest version, or will it work with older versions of SharePoint?
So it would work with older versions of SharePoint, but the code in this specific demo is for the latest version. What we did here is we just saved a file into SharePoint, so we're using SharePoint list, and we're leveraging the standard SharePoint APIs. In fact, to do this demo, we're not so familiar with SharePoint. So we went to Bing and we looked for SharePoint API, and the code here is just a copy paste of the demo of the sample in MSDN. Any more questions? All right. So another advantage of SQL reporting in Azure is the fact that it is in the cloud, so it's outside of your corporate domain. So it's available in public website that you might have, and you can share it with other companies. And of course, it's easier with mobile scenarios. So we have here a Windows 8 tablet, and we'd like to demonstrate a proof concept that we did with the new tablet. This is just a proof of concept to show you that the very basic capabilities. This is still a work in progress. And we have another session on Thursday. DBIS Read 2.7, that's the entire session about how to use reports in mobile devices. So not just Win 8 tablet, also iPad. We know those devices exist. So this entire session about this area, this is a demo of how to use Win 8 tablet with SQL Azure reporting. John, please.
So as the casino manager, since I know my way around the Microsoft management, I grab myself a Windows 8 tablet. This is the device. As you can see, it's alive, it's working, it's very smooth touch and feel. And I've asked my consultant to create an application, a Metro application, leveraging our reporting inside the casino, using the casino scenarios that I'd like to have. As the casino manager, I'd like my field employees to walk around the casino, see some crowding, see some incidents happening in real time, and be able to analyze the data that's flowing to our databases based on our reports while in the field. So we have a basic report, the same, very similar one to the one that we just saw in the previous demos. And in this Metro application, I just have some more buttons on the bottom of the screen, as you can see. Assuming my employees are walking around the casino and look at their tablets, see some crowdings in the blackjack area, they can simply press the blackjack button and see what's going on there. So it's very portable, very nice. We have an incident here, as you can see. Someone won about $40,000. That's very rare. So they can walk around with this extremely easy to use application, see what happening is in different areas of the casino. And as you can see, it's totally clickable and touch-aware, the same experience. I can flip it, but since it's connected to the projector, it will not flip now, but it can, it's flippable, and I can do almost all operations that are that can be done on the on my computer, on my laptop, and this is a pretty cool device to use in our fields.
All right. Thanks. So the Win8 tablet sample, that's a classic example of a client application that uses SQL Azure reporting. So you can do it in several ways. You can leverage report viewer control in Visual Studio, not for Windows 8. It will not work for Windows 8, but for previous operating systems. And we have on the roadmap for things that we're considering for the future to support report viewer control for Windows 8. All right. So we talked about what is SQL Azure reporting. We talked about different scenarios. Now I'm going to talk about how we build it. So in my opinion, this is important for you to understand, because if you're going to use the product, you want to know what's the difference between the SSRS product that you already know to what you get in Azure, and how we give you the all the things that we promised, like the SLA and uptime, security, and all these stuff. Another reason for this part is that, like Satya mentioned on Monday, we test our products with other products that we have. So for example, SQL Server 2012 is now being used in production in our product. So the same way, we build SQL Azure reporting on top of Windows Azure. So that's standard Windows Azure components that you can use to build your own applications. Okay, we do use some functionality that's available only internally to Microsoft. So for example, the Azure Portal piece, that's the management experience that we saw. This piece is internally from Microsoft. You cannot extend the Windows Management Portal. But we use the Windows Management Portal, I'm sorry, Windows Azure Management Portal, to give you the reporting piece inside it. But most of the product works on top of worker roles. So that's the same worker roles that you can use in Azure. So we use them in three ways. The first way, we took the engine that you know from on-prem and we made it work on worker roles. Okay? So it required a bit of a changes to the engine, but that's the overall experience. Then on our clusters, we have a cluster in each data center. Okay? So on our clusters, we have worker roles that are dedicated just to monitor the service, verify that it's up and running, and all the promises that were on the previous slides. Basically, we have a bunch of nodes that verify that we're up and running. We track logs, everything related to that. So on the same cluster, on several worker roles. And we have a few gateways under worker roles that adds another security layer and makes sure that our nodes are being used correctly. So what I mean by that is, if you're using an engine in our clusters, we would try that on the second request, you would get to the same engine, so you would leverage the caching of that engine. Okay. So we have our management experience, and we're using SQL Azure as our database engine. So we do that for two reasons. One reason, we leverage that internally. So the engine uses SQL Server database for 10DB and CatalogDB. We use SQL Azure for that. So that's one reason we use SQL Azure. Another reason is your data. So basically, your data sits in SQL Azure, and the reports are on top of that data. So we created a connection between the two. And we're using Windows Azure Load Balancer, another security layer. And we have an SLA monitor. So interestingly, I hope I pronounced it right, so the SLA monitor is not part of the cluster. Okay? So why is that? We don't want to monitor our clusters within inside the cluster. In fact, we don't want to monitor it within Azure. We have external monitors. We use Gomez, which is a standard tool for monitoring. And we're using their monitors to monitor our cluster. So each cluster has two monitors, in different locations in the world that constantly queries our cluster. They do login, render reports, do the same thing that you would probably do. And the reason is that we would like to simulate your experience with our clusters. So if something goes wrong, we'd know it first, and we do what's needed to fix that. So this is kind of our environment to make sure we guarantee 99.9 SLA. Yes?
In that architecture, where are you storing the model?
Everything is in SQL Azure.
So you're storing the reporting model?
The RDLs?
No, those are reports. The actual model that we're building.
Do you know? Okay, I will check that later. Okay.
Yeah, you build the data set off the model. So you build a model to make your schema very easy to build a user. You use report filter for reporting services.
Yeah.
Connect to the model.
Okay, now see. So no, the only data source that is available is SQL Azure. So if you're Yeah, so if your data is available elsewhere in the model that you created, you cannot connect it. Okay. All right. Okay, so let's talk about pricing, how much it costs. That was published last week. So basically, the billing model is very, very simple. If you don't have any reports, you don't need to use it. And you pay per hour for the reports that you have. So as long as you have a server that is up and alive, you have you pay for that server. And that's 88 cents per hour. That's the current billing model. And you can use up to 200 reports. That's what the model is scaled for. You can use more than 200 reports in an hour, but then you would pay additional 88 cents for each 200 reports bucket. So if you use 400 reports in that hour, you pay twice and so on. But the basic concept is that you pay per hour for as long as the service is alive. Okay, and a full explanation of the pricing is, of course, in windowsazure.com, where you can see all the details about the pricing. So. All right. So future directions. This is part when it's a very interesting section because this describes things that we're considering for the future, things that we didn't implement in V1. And this is part of why we are here at TechEd. We'll be at the SQL Server booth tomorrow morning, and we'd like to get your feedback on those things, things that are missing right now for you in SQL Azure reporting if you tried it, things that you would like to see there. So we'll be very interesting to hear what you would need more, or where would you like us to go farther with the product. So one future direction, one thing that we're considering for the future is code segments. Code segments are currently not available in SQL reporting in Azure. Don't use them, they will not work. The reason for that is security. Another thing that we would like to do that considering for the future is to upgrade the engine to SQL Server 2012. We would like to add more data centers as Windows Azure grows. So there are two more data centers that are on the table right now to add, and as long as Windows Azure will grow, we'll try to grow with it. So you could create server in as many places around the world as you can. We would like to add more data sources, so per your question. Right now we support only SQL Azure, and we're considering adding more data centers. We're considering OData, blobs, and more standard data sources that you know from the on-premise world. Another thing that we're considering for the future is identity federation and delegation. So you saw Iran type the username and password from time to time. So we would like to add functionality to create identity federation to Windows Azure. So that's one of the things that we're considering as well. And that will allow you a smoother experience with SharePoint Online and with on-premise because we leverage the identity that's on the device and you don't need to insert your username and password. And scheduling and alerting is another thing that we're considering. So basically, the last demo that you saw it was kind of a scheduler that Aram created in Visual Studio. We're considering add that functionality to be built in inside SQL Azure Reporting. All right. Any questions or comment about our future directions, things that are missing in SQL Azure Reporting? Yeah. On reporting usage? Yeah, so as starting last week, we added a new button in the main ribbon called Statistics, and you can see how many reports are being used. So
you want to see, show that?
Yeah, you can show it. Why? So Iran will open it while I'm talking. So you can see how many renders your report did. So you can plan. First of all, you know what's happening in your server, and then you can plan for the future, right? So you know if it's being used, you can know how to expect kind of what your build will be at the end of the month because you know what happened, and you can plan for that. So this is a new feature that we added last week.
This is the feature. This is the screen that shows you the amount of report generated per one day, 2 days, week, month, 3 months. So it helps you to plan your consumption of reports based on the billing model and to be more accurate in your plans. And this just shows the trends and the basic amount of report generated. You also have the execution log for each reporting server. You can download the execution log for the entire server, see what happened there, the same as you know in the on-prem SSRS. So this is the previous dialogue was this one, and as well as the execution log.
So when you click on statistics, you can see how many reports were used per hour, and you can see the average and the maximum per hour, and you can see up to 3 months back. So this is a new feature, and we're very excited for it because we thought that you know it would really help you understand what's happening on your servers. No, so as long as the server is available for you, then we charge you for that. You can delete the server and then we'll not charge you, but once you create the server and it's there, so we allocated resources to make that server available for you in whatever data center that you pick, then we charge you by the hour.
So that's just for holding reports that.
Yeah, that's for being available and for usage up to 200 reports. So if you want to use more, that's no problem. You don't need to configure it. You don't need to prepare for that. Okay, we scale automatically, but then it would cost more. So in 200 report buckets.
So you still got to get an execution log
to know which reports were being used? Yeah, yeah. You'd go to the execution log to know that, yeah. All right. Does that answer your question? More questions about features that we support, features that we don't support yet?
Will you ever have models or the ability to connect to an on-premise SQL server?
All right, this is a great question, and we're considering that very heavily. And we're trying to look for real-world scenarios of where it would make sense that your report server will be in Azure or in the cloud, doesn't matter where, but your data, your SQL server would be on-prem. Okay, so until now when we talk with customers that try that on the preview version, most of the customer used both SQL Azure and reporting services in Azure, or they didn't use both. So I would love to talk with you after that if you have a scenario that would make sense, because we're looking for this scenario. This is a very good question because we get that a lot and it makes sense that we'd support that. And we're looking for the justification of where exactly it will take place to make sure that our hunch that it's right, you know, that is there. So, yeah, it's a good question. Yeah. Well, it's one of the things that we're considering. And again, if you have a scenario for that, we'd love to hear that. So, basically, we launched that last week, and we're trying to see where our users would like to take it. And then, because it's in Azure, we plan to add feature in the Azure Cadence. So the Windows Azure Cadence is there's a spring release and fall release. So in fact, we have an upgrade in a few weeks from now to the service that we launched last week that will solve, will upgrade some security features. That's the most important thing for us, to make sure that it is secured and most up to date on patches and things like that. So we constantly look for, we're constantly looking for what our users use reporting server with. So we'd love to talk with you after this session and tomorrow in the SQL Server booth in the morning to hear if you're planning to use it and what you would use it for, so we can use this input to plan our next generation, next features. Yeah? So you can create RDLs with Report Builder, but we fit better to BI Development Studios or SQL Server Data Tools, because all the management experience that you saw would work from there natively. So if you can create RDL, and probably it would work, but you would get more power if you use SQL Server Data Tools. And yeah. No. So no. Oh, interesting. Okay, then no. It's not. It will not work in SQL reporting. It's interesting because it's different. Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks. So the question was whether we support Report Builder in SQL Azure Reporting. And the answer was no, it will not work. And I'll be happy to speak to you later to see what you do with it. Yeah. Yeah, so this is another thing that we're considering very heavily. Oh, thank you for the reminder. So the question was whether we plan to do a better integration with Office 365 and SQL Azure Reporting. And my answer was that, yeah, we're considering very heavily. And I cannot tell more than that, but yeah, this is definitely on the table for saying that we see the entire Azure BI stack grows too. Yep. I'm sorry? Okay, so the question was, what are the limitations? So you can go to MSDN to see a full list of limitations. We, on a high level, okay, the limitations are in the data source, so it supports only SQL Azure Reporting. We added a security layer that adds limitation. For the code segment is an example, and there's a complete list of limitations that are in from security reasons that you can see online. The scheduling and alerting, so it's here on things that we want to do that we're considering for the future, so it's not supported. And those are the main limitation, and you can go online to see the full list. Additional questions? All right. So a quick recap of what we had today. So we announced that SQL Azure Reporting, or Windows Azure SQL Reporting, is globally available. We talked about the management experience from Windows Azure Portal and from SQL Server Data Tools, and we showed lots of demos. So the very basic experience is direct URL access. We saw demos with SOAP API and with Win8 tablet. So this is my email over there. And this is Iran's. Here is some information about the BI tracks that you can use, the trivial links, and TechEd resources. We've been asked to remind you that to fill the evaluation, not just for our session, but for all the sessions. And this is our tag. I would like to thank you for waking up so early in the morning and join us.
Thank you.